students. Have you stumbled in your course and want a fresh start? Well, At the Best University has your back. AU offers more than 850 courses that align to your program, so you can retake your course online, turn that grade around, improve your GPA, explore new subjects, and study from anywhere. Visit atthebestu.ca to browse our online courses and transform your education today.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jesse Bell here with you for your Monday morning mixtape, and this is part two of three in our deep dive into Billy Talent's first three self-titled albums. Billy Talent 2, the sequel to the critically acclaimed landmark Billy Talent 1, is, in a word, ambitious. Unlike most rookie musical sensations, Billy Talent did not rush to the studio to churn out a quick follow-up. The band waited 3 full years before dropping Billy Talent 2 in the summer of 2006, and during that time, the band noted that their sound had mellowed as they had matured as men and a band. As Jonathan Gallant put it, "We wanted to do something completely different from the first record because we had changed dramatically and learned a lot from our personal relationships." Broadly speaking, he noted that the theme of the album is trust, or a lack thereof. In addition to the sonic and thematic evolutions the band experienced, they also looked to evolve their marketing tactics, making good use of the early social media space, releasing bits and pieces of the album through the band's personal MySpace. They would also leak a demo for Red Flag, but what's interesting about that is the full song was already available and had been used on several video game soundtracks, including perhaps most famously to Canadian Kids. It was on NHL 06, a personal favorite of mine. The first official single released by the band was Devil in a Midnight Mass, just 12 days before the record officially dropped. Devil in a Midnight Mass is the perfect opener to Billy Talent 2, a declaration of intent, showcasing their evolution as artists and their evolution as songwriters. Going back to the core tenet of trust being the theme of the album, you can see how trust has been used and abused in Devil in a Midnight Mass, pointing to the numerous documented instances of sexual abuse in a church setting. The band knew they were onto something with this track, as it also serves as a consistent opener to their live performances. Watching them play this in Kingston last fall was an out-of-body experience for me. It's a tremendous track, one that deals with difficult subject matter, but does so in that kind of trademark blunt and unpretentious way. If Devil in a Midnight Mass was pointed and direct, the second single and the immediate follow-up on the album, Red Flag, was more obtuse and vague in its subject matter, but it did deliver the point across with driving guitar lines and an unforgettable performance by vocalist Ben Kowalowitz. These two songs powered Billy Talent 2 to the top of the Canadian album chart and also helped the band find headway in Germany. However, it was a disappointing result for the band in the first week of sales in the United States, peaking at number 134 on the Billboard Top 200. As you will hear, the first half of Billy Talent 2 is a near-perfect start to an album. I won't have much to say about it because a lot of the songs will speak for themselves. Where the issue lies with Billy Talent 2 is, circling back to that keyword, ambition. It is perhaps a too overloaded album, so much so in fact that I've had to cut a lot of the chaff and unnecessary songs out of this retrospective for the sake of time. But we will get to more on that later. For the time being, enjoy Red Flag from Billy Talent 2.
Cast off the crutch that kills the pain. The red flag we've never meant the same. Russian roulette. Yes, I did that.
Pretend this time I need a friend. When you push on a glass, it's bound to break. Even when she was defensive, it just gave me more incentive. The more you squeeze, the more it slips away. I never walked so far on a lonely street with no one there.
After the success of Devil in a Midnight Mass and Red Flag, the band continued the momentum with perhaps their biggest single off the album, Fallen Leaves. This song was everywhere in the summer of 2006 and the following year of 2007, and it's an interesting song that feels more like a polished version of something they would have on Billy Talent 1. The subject matter is actually quite similar to that of Billy Talent 1's Standing in the Rain. A similar setting in East Vancouver, Fallen Leaves puts you in the perspective of someone new to the east end of the city. They get lost, they find themselves struggling with heroin addiction, and they end up living a shell of a former life. To me, this is almost something of a prequel to Standing in the Rain, and I think it is probably my favorite song off the album. The guitar work from Ian Dessau is simply, at times, virtuoso. It is incredible. He does an amazing job just driving this song. It's a distinctive, unique riff. It's a great chorus. Everybody in my friend group was listening to this song, and I think it is probably the emotional peak of the album. It wasn't the last single from the album, but to me, this is where Billy Talent 2 really hits full stride. It feels the most like a continuation from the first album. This and Pins and Needles, also distinctive for Ben Kowalowitz's trademark yell and scream singing style. Fallen Leaves is another staple of Billy Talent's live shows. In fact, a lot of Billy Talent 2 serves as a very arena-friendly album. It's full of fan favorites and crowd pleasers, at least on the first half. Right around track 8, the album does start to flag and lilt in a way that Billy Talent 1 didn't. Part of that is, of course, the inevitable mid-album slump that even the most acclaimed musical artist experience, but with Billy Talent 2, the mid-album slump is perhaps more pronounced than it ever has been for the band. I mentioned ambition being the key word for this album. The second half of Billy Talent 2, I think, is overly ambitious to the detriment of the overall product. I don't think it's controversial to say that Billy Talent 2 would have benefited immensely from being a 10-track album. If they had switched the order of Navy Song and ended on Surrender, they would have had themselves a pretty much perfect 39-minute follow-up to the original album, which was about the same length. The trade-off being, Billy Talent 1 was proudly unpolished at times, whereas Billy Talent 2 was designed to be a more mature evolution of the band's sound. The trade-off with that is you do lose some of that inherent authenticity that helped Billy Talent 1 resonate. Although Billy Talent 2 is unquestionably the more successful album, Billy Talent 1 is still held in regard by fans, myself included, as the band's absolute masterpiece. But don't take my word for it. Judge for yourself. This is the apex of Billy Talent 2 coming up, as we have Fallen Leaves, Where is the Line, and Surrender all coming up in this music block.
Falling leaves on the ground. Run away.
Did you know that New Leaf Link offers day programming for adults with developmental disabilities? We serve families in Kingston and so Frontenac. Our program focuses on arts, healthy living, and community connections, including summer camp. New Leaf Link's caring staff and talented instructors provide a place for everyone to learn together and build friendships. If you or someone you know would like to join our program, please visit newleaflink.ca for more details. Together, we can grow, connect, and belong.
Your true, true friend loves you just as you are.
Face to face, you'll hear them the street, waiting for someone that she'll never meet. Talk over coffee for an hour or two. She wonders why I'm always in a good mood. Killing time before she struts her stuff. She needs support and I become the crutch. She'll never know how much it means to me. I'd play the game, but I'm the referee.
To me, Surrender would have been the perfect jumping-off point from Billy Talent 2, especially as a runway to lead into Billy Talent 3. In an ideal, or if I may get ever so cheeky, in a perfect world, Surrender would have been the 10th track instead of the wonderful Navy song, and you could have had Navy song and then Surrender close us out. The other three tracks on Billy Talent 2... I will play at least one or two of them, time-dependent, are good, but much like with Voices of Violence ending Billy Talent 1, it brings the album to a so-so conclusion. Generally speaking, you'd like to start fast and end on something strong. Billy Talent have always been, let's say, trendsetters and uninterested in sounding exactly like what was on the air at the time, for better or for worse. To me, Surrender is the biggest demarcation point, the clearest evolution of the band's sound. It is a straightforward ballad about unrequited love and love and friendship. Going back to Jonathan Gallant's comments about the album centering around relationships and trust, this is a relationship that never was, and the difficulty then becomes, do you risk and jeopardize that trust you share as friends to attempt to become something more? I really do think this is a perfect thematic jumping off point and a perfect sonic jumping off point, because this is much more produced and polished than anything that has come before with Billy Talent. And moving into their third album, which, spoiler alert, was not quite as well received as their first two, to me, Surrender is that line that once it's been crossed, you are now in a new era of Billy Talent, and having it at the three-quarter mark in the album is an interesting decision for that reason. Surrender's immediate follow-up on the album is a song which I think is the last truly great Billy Talent song, and another that would fit quite well on Billy Talent 3, given the production values and general format. It's The Navy Song, and it's also a part of a long Canadian canon of sea music. Think about it for a moment. There are some iconic Canadian songs that have been written about the massive bodies of water that surround us. On that canonical list, of course, would be The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and one of the direct inspirations for The Navy Song, The Tragically Hip's Nautical Disaster. In fact, they've even said that Nautical Disaster was a major inspiration for the harmonious parts of The Navy Song. The song is exactly what you think. It is a ballad about a sailor shipped off to sea, never to see his love again. Very simple, very effective, and yes, it does capitalize on this kind of natural interest Canadians have in the massive bodies of water surrounding us. It also once again ties into the album's central theme of relationships, as this is a song all about mourning a lost love. Without further ado, here is Billy Talent with The Navy Song off Billy Talent 2.
Just like yesterday. face these things that you say. Don't make it all okay, it's not okay. When push comes to shove, I'll put on the gloves. Intentions are cruel, I ain't nobody's fool. You know it hurts my pride. Step aside, cause I don't need your sympathy. Won't get the best of me.
Misery,
that's what you're giving me.
Sympathy,
it's just like trickery.
Breaking me down.
A fist full of lies, dressed up in disguise. And make no mistake, I know they're all so fake, they're all so fake. My self-righteous friend, I just can't pretend. Your words are the truth, sincere only when they suit you.
It hurts my pride. Step aside, cause I don't need your sympathy.
Won't get the best of me.
Misery,
that's what you're giving.
Moving now to the album's final track, Burn the Evidence. One thing was abundantly clear with Billy Talent 2. The band had matured, they had improved their production values, and they were offering a slightly more radio-friendly sound, both in terms of lyrical content, although, as exemplified in Devil in a Midnight Mass, they weren't afraid to touch the third rail of religion or politics every now and then, but by and large, we were seeing a band that became a lot more suitable and sanitized for everyday radio play. Now, is this selling out? Is this just a natural endpoint for a band as they grow older? I think it's more the latter than the former. The struggle is, you must be a very adept songwriter to be able to effectively transition your sound in such a way. Getting older doesn't necessarily mean you're getting softer, and it's difficult when you are a band that traces a lot of its roots, and certainly a lot of its fan base, to harder subgenres. But I think Billy Talent 2 does effectively stride the line between old and new, and ultimately, although the album is a bit overambitious at times, the ambition shown by the band and the unique ways to market the album taking advantage of the early days of social media make it one worth revisiting. And certainly much closer to what fans hoped and expected to see from the band than the third album in this series, the one we'll be talking about next week, Billy Talent 3. It's a difficult thing to follow up an acclaimed and beloved first album, but the band does an admirable job of it here, and certainly in the first half of Billy Talent 2, hits the ground running, albeit maybe doesn't totally stick the landing. If on my totally arbitrary and unimportant ranking scale, the first Billy Talent album is a 9, a near-perfect creation that is both contemporaneous and also timeless, I think Billy Talent 2 is around that 7.5 range. The highs on this album are staggeringly high, and the lows are more mediocre than they are troublesome. It was a great follow-up, a sequel not quite on par with Empire Strikes Back, but certainly better than Exorcist 2. Make of that what you will. Now we come to the end of our time together this week, folks. Be good, be well, and be sure to stay tuned for more great CFRC programming. This is Jesse Bell signing off and leaving you with the closing track on Billy Talent 2, Burn the Evidence.
In a garage beside a house, there is a luxury sedan, and for his next monthly installment, he's gonna go out with a bang. Boy who always did what he was told was promised to pay K when he was old. Hit the brakes, hit the glass. The mistakes from the past flashed before his face. There is a man in tense of care. When he awakes, he will declare, I've been dead for 20 years. I won't let 20 more go by. Boy who always did what he was told fought the only dream that he was sold. Hit the brakes, hit the glass. Time to shake the heads of it. The mistakes from the past flash before his face. Burn the evidence of my existence. Clear the ashes on the ground. Burn the evidence of all these things that burn my spirit down. Burn the evidence of my existence. Clear the ashes on the ground. Burn the evidence of all these things that burn my spirit down.
Yes, I'd like a bowl of hot alphabet soup. Hi, my name is Hayden, and I have a new show on CFRC called Alphabet Soup.
A bowl of hot?
Make sure it's hot.
Alphabet Soup is a musical variety show that's live every Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m.
Make sure it's hot.
Right.
Okay, sir. Coming right up.
Tune in to hear something classic or something fresh. Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CFRC.
Hey, Charlie, table 26 wants a hot Alphabet Soup.
Queens alumni, homecoming is just a week away. Get ready for a weekend packed with fun, memories, and excitement. Whether you're looking to reconnect, celebrate, or just enjoy the festivities, there's something for everyone. Don't miss out. Find out all the details and plan your perfect weekend at queensu.ca/alumni/homecoming.
Oh, waiter. Yes, I'd like a bowl of hot alphabet soup.
Hi, my name is Hayden, and I have a new show on CFRC called Alphabet Soup.
A bowl of hot?
Make sure it's hot.
Alphabet Soup